So we're going to look at Scripture together, and the Bible passage should come up on the screen. So this month, we are due to be looking at some unsung heroes. So the heroes of the faith, we're particularly thinking of the New Testament at the moment, but there are some people in the Bible, in the New Testament, who are sort of unsung heroes, who do some amazing things, but actually we don't tend to focus on them very much. And we were due for this 3 weeks, because of course February is it's not a short month, it's an elite month, I can say, as I have a birthday in February. It's an elite month, but it is shorter than most of the rest. So just for 3 weeks, we're due to be looking at unsung heroes. Now, unfortunately, next week, our preacher is unable to be here. So I have got somebody else lined up, but I think it's unfair on them to jump a passage that they may not have worked on before. So next week may well not be an unsung hero of the New Testament. But certainly this week and 2 weeks' time, we're going to look at a couple of unsung heroes. Next week, I'm going to leave a surprise for you. Let's look then at 2 Timothy, the second letter of Timothy, chapter 1, and the first 18 verses. So this was written by Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, Timothy, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Amen. So we're going to look at this unsung hero, Timothy, this morning. And of course, we can't really look at Timothy without also looking at Paul, whom, of course, we know and, yeah, we have a greater understanding, perhaps, of Paul's life. Well, we have to look at the two together, really. So we start off, really, with Timothy as Paul's protege. Paul's protege. Paul's the person that Paul takes under his wing and supports. We think he was probably quite a young man. Certainly he was younger than Paul. And we find the first reference to Timothy is in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And so Paul traveled on in one of his missionary journeys. He traveled on to Derbe and Lystra, where a Christian named Timothy lived. His mother, who was a Christian, was Jewish, but his father was Greek. And we're told all the believers spoke well of him. In fact, following straight on from that verse, from verses 1 and 2 of chapter 16 of Acts, we're told that Paul wanted to take Timothy on his missionary journey with him. And so it says quite blithely, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. So they all knew that the custom was, if you had in this part of the Middle East, if you had a Jewish mum and a Greek dad, the likelihood is you wouldn't have been circumcised. And so we're told here that Paul seems to have taken this, now to us it seems quite extreme to be, you know, circumcising someone as an adult, as an extreme measure to go to. But he did it because he didn't want Timothy's witness as a Christian within a Jewish situation to be compromised. He didn't want Timothy to be dismissed by the Jews around in that area and say, what right have you to speak to us when you don't even live by the Jewish law? Now it's interesting, we have to be careful here. Paul didn't do this because circumcision was necessary for a person to become a Christian. Paul did this purely because it was a practical response to the situation, the context in which they were preaching and speaking and working. Paul didn't want this man-made or this human-developed ceremony of circumcision, the lack of it, to cause Timothy's witness to be undermined and ignored and dismissed by the Jews. And so we're told in this sentence here, he just says it, he circumcised him so that the Jews would not have a problem any further. And we are then also told, we read in, this is the first verse of Paul's first letter to Timothy. And we have there this sense of the love and care that Paul has for Timothy. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. We know that Paul was famously unmarried. And yet it seems as though there was such a strong and deep and personal relationship and friendship between Paul and Timothy that he regarded him as his son. And also that he gave really good advice, like a loving father would do to his own son, and says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "As for you, my son, be strong. Don't be dragged down by the troubles, by the people that insult you, by those that look at you for your youth and make judgments and say, 'What right have you to speak to us?'" He looked on him like his own son and spoke to him as a father would do. So Timothy was Paul's protege. And then as the relationship developed and moved on, perhaps there was a sense that Timothy became Paul's mentee. In other words, Paul was his mentor. In the first letter that Paul writes to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "Timothy, my child, I entrust to you this command, which is in accordance with the words of prophecy spoken in the past about you. Use those words as weapons in order to fight well." And so we have this idea here that Paul is reminding Timothy of God's previous revelation, of God's words to Timothy about his calling and about his gifting, about the way he was being, the way that God had spoken into Timothy's life in the past. And Paul's reminding him and saying, in these difficult times, when people are getting at you, when people are criticizing you, remember what God has said about you. Don't allow those who are sitting in criticism of you to take away that deposit, that gift of encouragement that God gave you, that gift of identity that God placed inside you. Don't allow the enemy to take that away from you through the criticisms of those who sit in judgment on you. Paul's reminding Timothy to remember his calling, remember the gift that God has placed in him, to bring focus, to bring direction, and to bring encouragement into Timothy's life. Timothy was to use these reminders of God's past work in his own spiritual battle against the enemy. And I'd say to you, each of us, I say to myself and I say to you, we each have that battle to make. There will be times when the enemy will come. We're told in the scripture that the enemy is a deceiver. He's the father of lies. He wants to tell you things that aren't true about you. And he also wants to accuse. And when we make mistakes, we can sometimes take on those accusations and start to feel we're not good enough. And the enemy so often wants to use those accusations to undermine us and to make us feel bad about ourselves. And here Paul is saying to Timothy, use the words that have been spoken about you in the past. Use those words as weapons in order to fight against the enemy who will undermine you if you allow him to do so. Use them as a weapon. We're reminded of that passage about the whole armor of God that we're invited to put on to protect ourselves against the fiery darts of the evil one. It's a spiritual picture of the way he wants to puncture our confidence in the Lord, our faith. He wants to undermine us, but we have the sword of the Spirit. We have the shield of faith. God gives us the weapons we need to be able to resist the enemy and his tricks and his lies. So Paul was Timothy's mentor. And we have this lovely verse, these lovely words later on in the first letter that Paul sends to Timothy. I hope to come and see you soon. But if I'm delayed, this letter will let you know how we should conduct ourselves." So we have that lovely sense there that Paul mentored and supported Timothy in person. "I hope to come and see you soon. I've not seen you for a while. I want to get together with you. I want us to be able to talk about the important stuff that's going on. But if I'm delayed, this letter will remind you." And there's that lovely sense that Paul wanted to be with Timothy, but he also recognized that if he couldn't be there, this letter would help to remind him of what he wanted to say. You know, in mentoring Timothy, I think Paul was seeking to show him something like the difference between these two things. It's possible to be a bit like a thermometer. And a thermometer really tells the temperature in a particular area. It tells you what the temperature is in here at the moment. It's quite a pleasant temperature. I'm feeling quite warm, but not too warm, just nice. We've had some times in this building where, goodness me, it's been really, really cold. And it's been, you know, it's been too cold. But at the moment, it's quite nice. A thermometer tells you what the temperature is. If we were to turn up the heating, then the thermometer would simply reflect the fact that the temperature was going up. So it's possible to be a bit like a thermometer or to be like a thermostat. And the difference there is that if you turn the thermostat and change the temperature, then you're doing so using the dial. And it's possible for us as Christians, in our world and in our friendship groups, in the situations that we find ourselves in, we can be a thermostat, we can be a thermometer, simply reflecting whatever's going on around. If things in our work situation or our home situation are spiritually cold, there are issues that aren't being addressed, we can simply reflect that reality. That spiritual temperature. But God actually wants us to be more of a thermostat, changing the temperature, influencing it, changing the atmosphere and the temperature. There's that lovely song that we sing sometimes that talks about, and prays to God, change the atmosphere. We as Christians are called to be salt and light. And I think that's what salt and light is about. Salt and light, we are called to be salt, giving flavor and taste. Salt preserves. Salt stops things like meat rotting. We're called to be salt in that sense. And we're called to be light, shining into dark and difficult places, showing and illuminating the reality and the truth to challenge it. We are called not simply to reflect the spiritual temperature that is, but rather to change it as we pray, as we act, as we come together with others who are also seeking to change the temperature, not simply reflect that which is already. And I think Paul wanted to help Timothy as a young leader to realize that he was to be more than a thermometer, but he was, as a leader, to be someone who encouraged and enabled and equipped the believers around him in the churches that he was working in to be thermostats, working together to change the atmosphere, the temperature. Timothy then became Paul's trusted right-hand man. If Paul himself couldn't go somewhere, it would often be this man Timothy that he would send. And so on one occasion, in the first letter to Timothy, once again, we have these words: "I want you, Timothy, to stay in Ephesus. Some people there are teaching false doctrines, and you must order them to stop." I wonder whether Timothy sometimes thought, "Oh, he gives me the great jobs to do, doesn't he? He can't go and stop them teaching false doctrines. It's me that's got to go and do that." And you can imagine it wasn't an easy thing to do. Timothy was a younger man. And I have to say to you sometimes, not in this church, obviously, but in other churches I've been in sometimes, I'm having to deal with people who may be old enough to be my parents, or even, Lord forbid, my grandparents, but not always behaving with the maturity that you would hope for from someone of that age. And the reality is that Timothy probably found that sometimes he was dealing with people who were physically older than him, but not spiritually mature as he would have wanted them to be. And he would have to be saying to them, "Look, Paul has asked me to come and say to you, please, please behave in the right way. Do the right thing. Forgive. Recognize where we have gone astray and repent." So sometimes Paul asked Timothy to do really difficult things. But of course, the other side to that is that Paul invested time and effort into Timothy to enable him to have the courage and the boldness, but also the sensitivity and the spiritual disciplines to be able to say what needed to be said in difficult situations. So we have then in Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church these words: "I beg you then to follow my example. For this purpose I am sending you Timothy, my own dear and faithful son in the Christian life. He will remind you of the principles which I follow." We have this lovely idea here that Paul is referring not only to what Timothy says, but also how he models Paul's ethos, his way of being, and his principles. Paul's saying here, "I'm sending you Timothy because he is the one who most reflects the way I want you to be and most reflects closely how I think and seek to behave." So Paul makes Timothy his troubleshooter in that sense. And then we find this sense that as the relationship between the older man Paul and the younger man Timothy, as that moves on, Timothy becomes Paul's friend and confidant. And we find in the letters, and this is the second letter that Paul sends to Timothy, we find there Paul reflecting back on Timothy's life. "I remember your sincere faith," says Paul. "For this reason, I remind you to keep alive the gift that God gave you when I laid hands on you." And I think in that earlier reading that I read at the beginning, before I spoke, there's that reference there to Lois, Timothy's grandmother, and to Eunice, Timothy's mother, and the sense that Paul has probably known Timothy since he was a very, very young boy and has watched him grow and develop, and at one stage laid hands on him to pray that God would just grow that gift of faith within him. And then we have these lovely words a little bit later on. The Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but rather gives us a spirit of boldness. So don't be ashamed to witness, Timothy. Don't be ashamed to witness. Paul here reminds Timothy of the important spiritual milestones of his life. He's saying to him, I was involved in your life right the way through your life. And then in these verses here, the Spirit of God does not make us timid. Perhaps Paul knew that he knew Timothy's character. He knew his personality. Perhaps he knew that Timothy had a tendency towards shyness and timidity and sometimes struggled to witness to his faith. And so Paul is reminding him and saying, don't be ashamed. The word you have to speak is important. God wants you to share it. So there's that encouragement from Paul not to allow himself to remain timid and shy, but rather speak out that which God has given him. And then later on in the same letter, Paul says, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, and my purpose in life. You have observed my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. Timothy has learned to imitate and to follow closely Paul's example in every aspect of his spiritual life and his character development. Yes, he becomes in the end this friend and confidant, moves from a situation of being the older teacher with the younger student to being a friendship where Paul can share even the physical infirmities that he feels as he grows older. And so we have these lovely little snippets into the reality of Paul's life as he gets older. I think we all feel that little bit colder as we get older. I don't know whether it's your blood getting thinner or what, but I don't know, the cold affects you that bit more as you get older. Here's Paul saying, do your best to come to me before winter. There's other bits where he says, bring my cloak, the nice warm one. And you just get that sense with Paul that he's got those, just like the rest of us, he has those physical needs. And Timothy seeks to be the one that makes sure he responds to Paul's physical needs as well as his spiritual desire to see him and to continue his ministry. And we see this sense of Paul becoming increasingly reliant on his younger friend, Timothy. And then these words from Philippians chapter 2. If it is the Lord's will, I hope to send Timothy to you, to the Philippian church, he says. I hope to send Timothy to you soon. He is the only one who shares my feelings and who really cares about you. You yourselves know how he has proved his worth, how he and I, like a son and his father, have worked together for the sake of the gospel. So you see there, the depth of love and affection is so clear. Of all of Paul's helpers and his co-workers, I think he was closest to Timothy, this man. And Paul, of course, later in those verses from Philippians chapter 2, we have Paul now seeing himself and Timothy working as equals in the task of sharing the gospel and building up the body of Christ. So, as we finish, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Take a moment to think about who mentored and nurtured you. Who was it that took the time to share their faith, their love of God with you. It might have been in your childhood. It might have been your mum or your dad or a close family member who shared their faith. Just take a moment to think about that. As well as my parents, I remember a Sunday school leader, a guy called Horace Adams, when we used to live up in Birmingham when I was a young kid. And I remember Horace being a man who just had such love for us as young people and modeled that love and that care in the way that he led that little Sunday school that I was a part of. So he was part of my spiritual journey and my growth. Who mentored and nurtured you? It might be someone much more recent for some of us, that actually that journey is something we can trace up to very recent times. Who mentored and nurtured us? Take a moment. Just thank God for them, for the fact they took the time and took that space to invest into you as a person. And then, who do we, or who can we, mentor and nurture ourselves? Who can we pass on the gift of love, encouragement, support, investing into their lives as we ourselves have been invested into? It could be our own children, who may now be adults. There may be others around us that we can take the time to connect with and just show the love of God to. It could be a neighbor. It could be a work colleague. That we can simply give that word of encouragement and support in difficult times. Let's just take a moment now to ask the Lord, perhaps to lay on our hearts, our minds, somebody who we could support and encourage over the last couple of months. I've had a developing friendship with and connection with a particular youth charity that's based up in Norwood Junction called Reaching Higher. Some of you may have heard of it. They do some great work. Myself and some of the other leaders, we've been able to go to a couple of their events, a Christmas event and then one of their youth clubs they were running. And what strongly impacted me was the quality of relationships that existed between their youth leaders, youth workers, and the young people. It was just so obvious these young people had been invested in. When you heard them speaking about their hopes for the future, what they wanted to do with their lives, how they saw that it was so important to give back to society and to their community. And it was inspiring. We're hopefully going to be hearing some more from Reaching Higher over the weeks and months that lie ahead, potentially doing some work together. But investing into our young people is such a vital thing. And to break the negative narrative, the negative story that's told so often about our young people, the vast majority of young people want to contribute positively. We mustn't give in to this negative picture of our young people. They are a gift from God. We must invest in them to see them become all that He wants them to be. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You for this picture we have of Paul and Timothy as older teacher and younger students. and of the way that Timothy became the man you wanted him to be because of the investment and the nurturing that Paul gave to him. I pray, Lord God, that you will help us to be just such nurturing and supporting and encouraging people, that we can give back in that way of investing in those who are younger than us physically perhaps, but also younger spiritually, earlier on in the journey, who may just need a word of support, who perhaps are a little bit on the edge, even within this church. There may be those who are a little bit on the edge and just need a friend, someone to be alongside them to say, I was new here. I know what it's like. And just to make sure that they feel supported and encouraged as they find their feet within this church or within the work situation or at school or at college. Lord Jesus, help us to be people who receive ourselves in order to give out to others, to see your kingdom come in our relationships. In your name, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.